Episode 356, The Rant, Carmella Garcia, Part 2, The Return. Steady progress has been made all pandemic long for one Carmella Garcia, and it shows. Mentally, physically, the growth has been exponential. In this pod, we chop it up with her to talk soccer and hoops, how she's taken her craft and cancellations both in stride, and the vast improvement within her life and well-being overall, all through finding purpose in officiating. All that and more. Carmella Garcia, Part 2, now. The Rant has been brought to you by Geo Studios, now open. They are located one block south of Westbury Train Station in the heart of Long Island, New York. Looking to bring your art or event to life? Trying to record a podcast? Enjoy 6 rooms of studio space to create audio and visual content. It also includes an 800-square-foot cyclorama wall studio, a state-of-the-art recording studio, 3 breakout rooms for 4 to 6 people each, which include a green room and lounges, a quality surround sound with 6 speakers and studio lighting, and most importantly, 2 on-site restrooms. You know I need my restrooms. Book your space today. For more information, find us at geoevents.com. The Rant has been brought to you by The Methodical Millionaire. Malachi Wilson and Ralph Fernolis combine forces to talk to people from all walks to discuss where they are in life and where do they want to go. Ever thought about being a millionaire? Sure you did. Do you know what it takes to become one? Join us for a one-of-a-kind ride to discuss how someone can achieve their financial goals, attain financial freedom, make money work for you in a methodical way. Join us each week as we drop an episode, one podcast at a time. Find The Methodical Millionaire wherever you hear your favorite pods. Welcome to another edition of The Rant. I'm your host, Ralph the Ref. I'm with a super special guest via Bluetooth on the Roadcaster, live in New Mexico. We've been trying to do this for a while. Been playing phone tag, text tag, but I see her dripping in the gym, out here getting her fitness on, and also a staple in Paul's thing and Crown Refs. Something that's helped her improve vastly as an official. I'm blessed to have the soccer official certified in New Mexico, as well as a certified basketball official, Miss Carmella Garcia. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Ralph. I'm doing good. Thank you for having me on again. Great to connect again.
Yeah, I'm really excited to speak to you because so much things have changed. First question I wanted to ask you is, what is the state of pandemic? We're taping this on, I think it's January 9th. 2022. What's it like in New Mexico right now as it stands?
Nothing different. I mean, yeah, cases are getting higher, but we still have a mask mandate. It's, you know, thankfully nothing has shut down. We're not on lockdown, but we have to wear masks everywhere we go. Kids are playing in masks. We're officiating masks. The, you know, audience has to wear masks. So it's pretty crazy still.
Yeah, listen, if somebody told me I got to wear my pants backwards for a season to happen, I'll do it. I don't care at this point, right?
Yeah, I'm complaining about that. Heck yeah. So, you know, I've had players complaining just like, hey, it's either this or no season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And everyone's doing it. It's not as if like they're the only ones. Like the officials have to do it. And, you know, speaking of that, how are you with the mask and running up and down? Obviously, you're probably so used to it, but Are there any special techniques that you use? Do you use a specific special mask when you are officiating on the court?
No, nothing special. I mean, I'm used to it. I, you know, soccer has kept me in great shape. I wear it for work every day. The gym, we have to wear it at the gym, fitness gym. So it's really not a bother for me, honestly.
Mm. I want to go back to your 2021 soccer season because that's what happened before. Just talk about that experience of, you know, kind of it being as normal as it possibly can be, being in the fall, and talk about your experience with that season.
So soccer, actually, we had no sports in the fall because of the pandemic. Seasons were shortened. We didn't start soccer until, I want to say, March, I believe, March mm-hmm. or April. Mm-hmm. It was a real short season, March, I believe. And we had to wear a mask outside. And that was super different. And but we associated with masks on outside. It was a short season, but at the same time, it was a long season because we were working almost every day. And, you know, like I said, I'd rather wear a mask outside than not have a season at all. Because it just took a big hit on financial stuff as far as having a full season. So we were grateful enough to have somewhat of a season.
Was it shortened with the amount of games, or was it more compressed but the same amount of games?
It was shortened with the amount of games. I don't even remember, honestly, how many games I did, but it was just, we had to cut some games.
You felt like you were working every day.
Yeah. I mean, it felt like it, but yeah.
Now, hypothetically speaking, if they ended up just kind of having the season that way, as opposed to just having it long and drawn out, what do you think you'd prefer at this point now that you've experienced both?
I would say a normal season, because I actually have somewhat of a break between soccer and basketball, as opposed to when I did have the seasons overlap. I was doing soccer during the day and basketball at night. So I, between the two, I had somewhat of a, like, probably a week and a half to 2 week break between the two.
So this fall that just happened, the fall 2021 season, did you have a soccer season?
We did.
And it was like normal? Yeah. Was it like normal with the times and everything?
It was. Thankfully, we didn't have to wear masks. It was normal. Nothing unusual. The only thing is, for the state tournament, they only took 12 teams instead of 16. Mm-hmm. It was, like I said, I was really happy to have a full season.
And did you improve vastly? Just talk about your experience with that as an official and your growth in soccer.
The good thing is, you know, we worked, personally, I worked 7 to 10 games a week. Overall season, I worked 58 games personally. And the benefit of working that is you get to see plays all the time, different plays. And, you know, you get to, you know, something funny happens, you can talk to the crew about it and you learn from it. And in most games, we had a radios where we had, you know, we're able to talk to each other in case a rule I didn't know or a play that happened, what would be, you know, the ruling on it. And I think by doing all these games, it taught me to be a better official because I did see a lot of plays going on every day.
Now, how long is that break between soccer and basketball for you?
About a week and a half.
That's a pretty good break. I mean, considering an officiating time, right? a day is good.
58 games for the season.
That sounds like a marathon.
It was nice and it was weird because I was just used to go, go, go. So after work, I was just like, well, I don't have to go anywhere today.
Now, going into basketball season, I just want to set the scene. So for me, this was the first, I guess, in a very long time that we had like a real season. So I was thinking like, you know, November, you start getting your schedule, then you start working out a little bit more aggressively, and then you finally get the kinks out, right? You start doing a couple of games just to make sure that you're sharp, and then get your first game, and then you get all the butterflies because you're wearing the jacket and you're starting to do it all formally. And, you know, I was really excited to do it because it was a lot different last year, only because, as you mentioned, you know, we had a preempted shortened season that was kind of like not at the same time frame that it's used to. So the beats weren't exactly the same. But this year in November, things were the same. What was your experience, your first time out doing basketball, like in the same time frame from what we are used to?
I mean, I was always excited to start season, whether it was a short season, whether it was a full season, I was always ready to go. And, you know, this year, considering we did have a full season, it was just super exciting to be out there as opposed to just waiting a whole, you know, few months. Because we started season last year back in April, I believe. And I hated that feeling of waiting. But this year, you know, we started normal time. It was a really good feeling.
Yeah, it was a really good feeling for me. And, you know, I had my volleyball season right before that. So the same time you're doing soccer, And full disclosure, I am a soccer certified official and I've never done a soccer game because my volleyball team keeps winning. So I'm just going to keep with that. But I'll say that I'm so blessed because, you know, just like you said, we had a shortened season around March and April, and it was very short. It was like 3 weeks, but it was the same amount of games. And then, you know, I'll never forget this. This is something that'll like always be etched in my brain. Senior night, I was on the microphone just talking about how I was so thankful for the seniors to be able to at least compete for a championship, because that's kind of like, you know, the beats of how it goes, of you know, the coming of age. When you become a junior to a senior, you become the leader. And at the very least, at that moment in time, they weren't deprived of that feeling. However, as soon as I got off the microphone, we found out that we had one case. Then the next day, we found out we had three cases. And then the third day, I found out we had seven cases. And the championship game was less than a week. So if they all had a quarantine within 10 days, that means that our season was canceled. And the feeling that I felt, it was kind of like worse than losing in a championship game. It felt like a weird new feeling of saying like, man, we didn't even get a chance to like finish the season. So this particular season, the 21-22 season, where we had, you know, the seniors ended up leaving, but then the juniors ended up becoming seniors. You know, we just kind of played lights out, max out. That was our motto, max out the whole season. And we were able to have a whole season without any interruptions, pretty much. We didn't have any quarantine situations. We didn't have any, you know, schedule blips where we had to cancel games or move it around. So I was very fortunate, and I really thought that, and naive of me to think that basketball was going to be the same, because, and it was almost to the point for the first 2 weeks. But then when this Omicron variant happened, everything completely changed, where, you know, I think I've gotten so many cancellations, and then I had so many add-ons, and, you know, I feel like it evens out. So it's not that bad for me, but it's just more of the uncertainty of like, you know, one day you might be thinking you have a doubleheader, but then, you know, 2 hours later, you find out that both of those games are canceled. So, you know, just talking about that particular situation with reffing, I'm pretty sure like the first month, everything went off without a hitch. But then once this new variant, Omicron, started becoming the prevalent strain within the coronavirus, just talk about your first cancellations and how many cancellations have you had, and how many, you know, reschedules of at least added games that you've had?
Honestly, I've been really fortunate. I've only had two games canceled this season. Wow. And that was literally yesterday. I had a doubleheader out of town. And as soon as I was, you know, getting up, getting ready, I received a notification saying that the first game was canceled. And then I was removed from the second one. And then I had called my assigner just to confirm. And he said, yeah, they both got canceled. Mm. So I've been really fortunate that my games this season, I have not had any issues, knock on wood, and I'm hoping to finish the season like that. But like you said, it's totally unexpected. It's totally, you know, expected.
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't be surprised when it does happen, when you have cancellations, because it's going to happen. Uh-huh. But like I said, I've been very fortunate not to have any cancellations.
I hope you did something good on your Saturday. Did you do something good for your free time?
Well, actually, I was supposed to, I had three games scheduled. So my first two in the morning were canceled, and then I had a game last night. But during the day, I relaxed. I had, I would have had 10 games this week, but the two were canceled. So I had eight, and I did a little bit of traveling every day. So I was tired. Mm. And so I just took it easy before my 6 o'clock game.
Okay. So you were still working?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me tell you about Friday. So there was a snow day, and we knew this about on Thursday. So I already had one game canceled. Then they put me on the JV game, and that got canceled. And I was so excited because I was like, oh, I'm just going to have a day off. I'm just going to chill with my kids, and I'm just going to do nothing. It turned out I had an adult league game that I kind of scheduled last week before that, and it was going to be at 8, 9, and 10. The only problem was is that the assigner texted me and said that his stepson is going to drive him back home. I thought that meant that I'm not working anymore, so I was like, I'm completely cool with all that. So I ended up going out to dinner with my wife, and he texts me at 7:45. He's like, are you almost here? I'm like, almost here? I'm at a restaurant with my wife. What are you talking about? And he was like, no, you're supposed to rest. So I could see where he was coming from, but he could also see where I was coming from. Suffice it to say, I took one bite, drove my wife home, had to find my referee stuff, And I got there with like 3 minutes left in the first half. So I'm kind of proud of myself that I was able to just kind of maneuver that. But at the same time, I was completely chilling. I hate those moments when that happens. But, you know, back to you, I'm just thinking about like the growth that you have just from the time that I've known you. I remember the first time we had a podcast. It was tough for you like to communicate, and like you have so you've just grown just your communication skills. So I want to just I wanted to shout you out. Just you sound great right now. And, you know, I think a lot of the growth is from the confidence that you have as an official, the confidence that you have just communicating. And I think a lot of that is partly responsible for, you know, just your motivation to just be better as a person. And of course, as an official. But also, I think Paul D'Asparo of Crown Refs, you've been able to affiliate yourself with him and use the systems in place to really work on your game. Just talk about your experience with working with Paul hand in hand and how much it's improved, you know, your communication skills and you just being a better official and person overall.
Oh boy. I mean, you would have never thought, I mean, seeing me on the court now, that the kind of person I started out to be. I was super shy. You know, officiating has definitely created a new personality for me. I was super quiet, and I mean, I still wanted to get better. It's just getting out of my comfort zone I had issues with. And especially if, you know, you don't know what to say to a coach, so you kind of keep quiet, but to a coach it comes off standoffish, like you're ignoring them. And I knew I had to get better at that. I didn't know how, and that has been my goal. I mean, I'm still working on it to communicate with coaches, like the correct verbiage. And, you know, I want to use the rule book. I want to go to the rule book and, you know, explain to them a call I had. And with Paul and the group, the Crown Refs group, we have a thing called rapid responses. And it talks about what to say to a coach, how to say it when he comes at you. You know, a coach says, you know, maybe 10 things, but in 100 different ways. And, you know, since season started and since we started the rapid response, you know, I've been telling him, I'm like, I'm waiting for a coach to come at me with something. I'm waiting. And I still wouldn't get it. And I finally, you know, got to use it last week. I finally got to use one of our rapid responses and I loved it. And I texted Paul like right after the game. I was like, hey, I finally got to use, you know, verbal judo. And it was just an exciting feeling. But yeah, it's definitely, you know, going through the stuff he does and just working on it has given me a lot more confidence than when I started, when we first started talking.
So one of my best friends, Jeff Lescafle, who referees flag football with me out here, I know that just from me taking him under my wing and then him able to be, you know, such a successful official as well in flag football, he's also very shy and he's very quiet. And I know for me, just like locally with my friends, they love me because I'm the life of the party. I'm normally the one that speaks. So it's a lot easier for shy people to gravitate towards me because I'm very warm and inviting, and those shy people don't really have to talk because I'll talk for them. But I will say that in officiating, you don't have that luxury. Like, you got to speak up. That's something that you have to do. So I know, and we've talked about this, me and him, about how much it has just improved and enhanced his life just as a communicator, being able to just, you know, speak up for himself, be able to just like eloquently say what you're trying to do. So, you know, I feel like that's such a great avenue for you. Now, you said that there's a couple of tweaks that you still want to do with the verbiage, but you feel completely comfortable out there communicating with coaches at this point now, right?
I do. I honestly do feel comfortable communicating with them. Now it's just knowing the rules. You know, like I told you earlier, you have to, I've been told all the time, every day, get in the rule book, get in the mechanic book. Because, yeah, I can talk to a coach all day now. It's just the fact of, you know, just knowing the reason behind my calls, knowing him wanting to know, you know, the rule about it. Because the good coaches will ask you about the rules. You know, they're like, well, where is that in the rule book? Or how is that, you know, a foul? And then you tell them the rule, they're like, okay. And they stay quiet.
Now, do you think that this has been more of a benefit officiating, or do you think it's also like branched out in your life where you feel just like more confident about communicating in general as a person? Do you feel like you're still that shy person? Because I think being shy and being able to communicate when you need to communicate can both coexist.
Yeah, like I said, officiating has developed a new personality for me. Sometimes I still am shy as a person when I meet new people. But, you know, the old me would not really talk at all to them. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily because, you know, I'm not a nice person. I don't like to initiate contact. I would never really like to initiate contact, as opposed to now, I'll start a conversation. Like, we working sometimes middle school games, JV games, I'll work with new officials. And, you know, in the past I would talk, you know, make small talk, but now I'll start out with, you know, non-officiating stuff. Like, you know, how are you? You know, what got you into officiating? You know, do you have a family? Just, you know, to make them feel comfortable and to make them feel wanted. And, you know, we're trying to, you know, we're so short on officials that when you do get new officials, you want to make them feel comfortable.
Mm. That's a good point that you brought up there with just trying to feel comfortable. I know for me, oftentimes when I referee, I don't even talk about reffing. Like, anytime there's a break, I'll just talk about something else that has completely nothing to do. And then I got to kind of snap out of it and say like, oh yeah, we got to start reffing. So let's have our pregame, get into that. But, you know, I'm more of like a social butterfly. So, you know, that's my claim to fame when I'm in the circuit. So if you guys see me, we might be talking about something completely different. But you just touched upon something of, you know, there's a big shortage in the Southwest and in New Mexico. And, you know, overall, it's weird for me to hear that because I think there's such an abundance of referees out here and there's such an abundance of really good referees. Obviously, me and Paul are from the same sector. You know, Justin Bailey from Refs Corner, we're from the same sector. So there's so many officials here vying for the same competitive spots. And also at the same time, we all support ourselves. But I know that in other regions of the country and around the world, that referees aren't necessarily, or officiating is not necessarily a desirable position to have. Do you feel that the pandemic has really, you know, forced a lot of the older referees out and it's having, you know, a strain on, you know, newer officials that are reffing and probably reffing more than they normally would have in the past? And do you think it's easier or harder to recruit new referees now to officiate?
I would say it's a bit harder because, you know, with the pandemic going on, people don't want to officiate. So we're putting newer officials on harder games. And with that being said, you know, regardless if they are new official, older official, they're going to get the abuse from crowds, coaches, players, and they don't want to officiate because of that. And I just, you know, wish people would be more understanding, like, because, yeah, we say all day that there's a shortage of officials, but people still won't change their mentality. And that's what causes the officials to quit, is the abuse that we take. And so people are not wanting to do it, are not wanting to officiate because of that, or they quit because of that. And it's just unfortunate.
Yeah. But, you know, hopefully people stick around long enough to see the fruits. And oftentimes those fruits don't really bear, you know, first season. Sometimes you got to stick around long enough to see the success. Would you think that's true as well?
Yes, I do. I mean, like you said, we're getting the abuse, but, you know, with me, you know, I'm sticking through it. You know, I'm tough. I'm going to get through anything that's thrown at me. And, you know, it's going to be, you know, a good feeling.
Mm. Okay. Now talking about the rest of this particular season, the 21-22 season of basketball, what can you look forward in the future? Are you looking for postseason assignments? Are you looking for a specific thing that you want to improve moving forward?
I do want to have postseason assignments. That definitely has, you know, been a goal of mine. You know, I've been really happy even since, you know, the first season I started. I've been extremely happy with my schedule. Mm. You know, I've been getting really good games. And, you know, right now, I'm taking things slow. I just, you know, want to get postseason assignments, and I just want to right now be known as a really prominent high school official, because my ultimate goal is to get to the highest level. And, you know, like I said earlier, you know, I want to carry myself well and be the best official I know I can be. You know, that's what I want to be known as. Is in order to get to where I want to be, where I'm at now, I just want to succeed.
Now, I know for me, personally speaking, my goals have definitely changed within the past 2 years of me experiencing the pandemic. I have been fortunate enough to spend a lot of time with my family, to see my kids grow. And, you know, reffing in the city where I am in Long Island, think of it as like, I got to drive maybe like 2 hours going there and then ref a crazy game and then almost like 3 hours back. So it's a big commitment, but there's all these games that are local out here for where I live, but they're not nearly as good. But I made a decision to ref locally as opposed to just trying to chase those more difficult games. So it was kind of like a personal decision for me. I know that's not something that would have happened if the pandemic didn't happen, but it did happen. And I'm happy because now I drive 12 minutes and then I come right back home. So I know that my goals have kind of changed within the officiating. Do you think the pandemic has changed your goals in officiating moving forward?
The only thing probably that they have changed is game cancellations. You know, I'm missing out on another opportunity to get better. But, you know, days that they are canceled, I can, you know, get into the rule book. I can, you know, watch film. But, you know, right now, I think, like I said, my goal is just to get postseason assignments. And I think right now I'm on a good road to getting there.
Awesome. We're going to leave some more meat on the bone so we could talk about part three, hopefully towards the end of the year. But I appreciate your time. I know we talked off air about something that I'm working on real special beforehand. But any final words you want to say before we part ways?
No, I appreciate it. And good luck with the rest of the season. Thanks for having me on here again.
Yeah, hopefully we don't get sick. Hopefully we complete it the way it was. Carmela Garcia, this is Ralph the Ref. This is The Rant. We are signing out. Peace.